Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 20, Acts in chapter 20, as we come to a conclusion on our Faith Missions Emphasis Month, I trust it's been a blessing to you to have the different missionaries in and emphasizing just God's will concerning missions, and what a blessing it has been. Acts chapter 20, chapter 20, if you will, if you found that, stand with me. If you're able to, we'll read the Word of God together. We're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 35. Acts chapter 20, starting with verse 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again today, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in church. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in this place. But now, Father, as we've opened up the Bible, your holy word, we've read this passage of Scripture. I believe that you have a message for each and every one of us through this passage of Scripture. I pray, God, that you would once again use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 20, we find the great apostle slash missionary slash Christian Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, he will be arrested, and he'll live out the rest of his life as a Roman prisoner. He's been made aware of this, but yet he believes this to be the will of God for his life. I want you to look at verse 24 with me, and this is what Paul would say. He says, but none of these things move me. No matter what I'm going to have to face when I get to Jerusalem, no matter what I have to face going from Jerusalem to Rome, and that's where he would appeal unto Caesar, and because of that, they would take him to Rome. He knew that God had a purpose for his life, even as a prisoner of Rome on his way to Rome. But he says, no matter what I have to face, no matter what I have to go through, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I'm not focused on my comfort. I'm not focused on what I have. But he says, so that I might finish my course with joy. That's what he's focused on. Finished his course with joy. Paul here in Acts 20 had called the pastors of the churches in Ephesus. There were several ministries in Ephesus. Ephesus, huge in population and a very heathen city that needed the gospel preached. There's no doubt about that. Paul had been there for 3 years. And now he calls, he knows he's leaving. So he calls all the pastors of the churches together, all the church leaders, and he admonishes them one final time. And I believe that he admonishes them possibly so that they would live out the rest of their lives with joy. And can I tell you, I believe God has it recorded for us. And this morning, as I preach the word of God to you, that's the thought I want you to keep on your mind is whatever stage in life you're in, wherever you're at, we ought to leave here this morning with a desire to live out the rest of our lives. No matter what we've done up to this point, we can't go back and change anything, but let's focus on the rest of our lives. And living out the rest of our lives in the ministry that God's called us to, in the position that God has established us, with the joy that God has for us. And God has joy for us. And we'll find the joy of the Lord in doing the will of God, no matter what we have left, dedicating that to the Lord. Paul had found a better way to live life. As we read, and the Bible tells us about Saul, the persecutor of the church, his ambitions, and all that he had given his entire life for, he had found a better way to live life. He thought he was living life that was going to bring him joy, thought he was living life that was going to bring him a peace and happiness. But then he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, he found a better way to live. See, joy comes and is established in our lives when we live life with, first of all, our Savior in view. In this New Testament church age, the person we look to in this church age is Jesus Christ. Everything about him, he has given us an example. He has established his word for us that we might follow in his footsteps. Joy comes when we live life looking first of all to him and then looking to others, which was why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you follow the life of Jesus Christ, you find that he was focused on others all the time. Paul had experienced both a carnal life and now a spiritual life. Paul had experienced living according to the will of the flesh, which is a carnal life, and living according to the will of God. And in doing this, he's wanting to pass on this testimony. He's wanting to pass on this information to all the other elders where they would be able to pass it on to all the believers in the land that there's a better way to live. And there's joy of the Lord that we are missing out on if we're not serving God with our lives. See, God has designed it this way. God has designed his plan that humanity is living their life as close to God as they choose to. Now, that's how God designed it. God's given every one of us a free will. He will not force anything. Jesus came to redeem humanity. And as he came, he presented the plan of God. He presented exactly what God designed for all humanity, for he came to seek and to save all that was lost. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to this place of repentance. That is God's will. Jesus came to give every person on planet Earth an opportunity to choose him. And by choosing him, believing that he is God, believing that he has a plan for our lives, and we have turned away from our lives and we've turned to him and we've chosen to live our life according to the will of God, looking to him first of all. It's been said that we're as close to God today as you desire to be. If you're not, God has not moved, because the Bible says that he changes not. If we're not as close to God as we once were, it's because we have moved. Because we are failing to do what it takes, what God designed it, in order to have a close walk with God. God designed it for all humanity. You're going to be as close to God as you choose to be. He's also determined that we determine how we treat others. In our relationship with humanity, God designed it so that you can control how you treat others. Can I tell you that because God designed it that way, that's what all humanity will give an account for. Ultimately, we will give an account to God for what we've done with Jesus Christ. That will determine your place in eternity. If you choose by God's design to take advantage of knowing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, knowing that he is the only way that mankind can make it to be reconciled to God, to go to heaven, and you choose to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have been given everlasting eternal life. If you have rejected Jesus Christ by your own free will, you will give an account for what you've done with Jesus Christ. And if you have rejected Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. But it's your choice. It's the choice of all humanity. We will give an account for all of our relationships of life. But you will only give an account to God for your part in that relationship. You will give an account to God, as I will give an account to God, how I have treated all people. That's my part. That's what I have control over. And if we will live as God would have us to live as looking to God as God would have us to look to him, then we'll have joy in our relationship with God. If we will live with our part in mind in our relationship with all other people, then we can have the joy of the Lord in how we live in our relationship with everybody. There's a joy of the Lord that is associated with your choice in these relationships. Because God has predetermined what man must do, but we must choose to do it. And as we choose to do it, it will affect our joy in this life. So we find here that Paul calls all of the leaders together. And he's reminding them, he is presenting to them this truth of their choice. Yeah. Paul would first choose to serve the Lord. As he's found this joy in serving God, he wants to pass it on. And he says, look with me there in chapter 20, verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, been here for 3 years, and I've given you an example of true Christianity. I've given you an example of my service to God no matter what. From the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord. You have witnessed my testimony. You have seen in me my love for God, my commitment to serve the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. That's trials. You've seen me face all of the things that have brought out emotions of tears. You've seen me face everything concerning the trials of life which befell me by the lying in way of the Jews. You've seen the Jews trying to take my life. You've seen me go through numerous times of possibly when I could have lost my life, but I stayed faithful to God because I had God in view. And you've seen this. And I've chose to serve the Lord. And I continue to choose to serve the Lord so that I might have that joy that's associated with serving the Lord. You find that his life turned around there in the book of Acts in chapter 9. We'll not turn there, but chapter 9 and verse 6, on his way to Damascus, the road to Damascus. He, for the first time in his life, he was presented with the truth about who Jesus was. He was not forced to receive Christ, but he was presented for the first time, very educated man, had a lot of experience in a lot of different things, but no one had ever shared with him the truth about Jesus Christ. And when he came to that place, Jesus himself revealed to Paul, Saul at this time, who he was, who Jesus was. And Saul, when he was presented the truth about who Jesus was, he acknowledged him as his own personal Lord and Savior. You will have to choose that. There's still people, even in America, that really have never been presented the truth about who Jesus is. But they will have an opportunity. And when they understand that this is an open door to what I will do with Jesus Christ, will I believe that he is the Messiah? Will I believe that he is the Savior of the world? Will I look to him and acknowledge him as being who he is? And then what will I do with him? Will I receive him, or will I put it off for another day, or will I receive him as my personal Lord and Savior, or reject him? That's a choice that all of us will make. I trust that many in this auditorium here, that's why you're in church today, because when you were presented with the truth of Jesus Christ, you believed in him and you trusted in him to be your Savior. You did what God designed that a person must do in order to be saved. God designed it that a person must first of all believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that he went to the cross of Calvary, he paid your sin debt, he was buried, and he resurrected on the third day. And you believe that, and because you believe that, that he is a Savior, he's the only way to heaven, then at that point, once you believed him, you acknowledged him, then you received him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how God predetermined it. That's what God has designed, that how we would get saved, not that who would be saved, but how that anybody who got saved would get saved. There's no one saved outside of believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and receiving him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Everyone, I believe, in this auditorium has probably had that opportunity. I believe there's probably some in here that have not received him. I don't know. No one knows. That's between that individual and God. But you know. You know whether you just got a head knowledge, you know who he is, but you've not taken that head knowledge and made it a heart knowledge by receiving him. It has to be a heart. It has to, you have to believe and receive him into your heart. But if you don't receive him before your life on this earth is over, it will be too late. But you have an opportunity. And it might be that you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord because you've not received him as your personal Lord and Savior. You've not acknowledged him and you've not received him. If you received him, how can you not be joyful over the fact knowing that you're a child of God's, and no matter what happens to you in this life, you have heaven to look forward to? Paul says, no matter what happens to me, this really doesn't move me. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is living out the rest of my life as a born-again believer with the joy of God, knowing that I'm serving Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a joy. associated with that. You can't do anything about what you've done up to this point, but everything about this point forward, you can have that joy. You can have that joy by finishing out with whatever time you have left and serving God through Jesus Christ. We will choose to acknowledge Him. We'll choose to worship Him. Paul, once he realized who Jesus was, he called Him Lord. Bowed down before Him. And then the third thing we'll do is we'll choose to obey His word. What will you have me to do, Paul says. Acts 20, verse 32. Paul brings them all together. He says, you've seen me, how that I have served the Lord. No matter what I've gone through, you have witnessed the fact that I am committed to serving Jesus Christ. Verse 32, he says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here to help you out anymore, but as I'm leaving, I want to commend you to God. I want you to establish your own personal walk with God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I'm turning you over to the very words of God. What will you do with it? You see, the Bible reveals all about who God is. If you really want to have a close walk with God, you want to know all about who God is. And the Bible is there for all of us to know all about God. He knows all about you, but do you know all about Him? That's why we have it. God designed it. He designed it that we would have His word throughout this New Testament church age. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall never pass away. Amen. Because you're going to be accountable to it. What you have done with the word of God. If you really want to know who God is and establish a closer walk with God, you have the means by which to do it, because everything about God that we can understand and need to understand is written down in His word. You might say that you have a desire to know God and to walk with God, but it will prove itself out by what steps you are taking to know more about God. And the first step that you need to take to know more about God is to read His word and to understand what He says about Himself so that we might know Him. Yeah. Every one of us have the very same opportunity. Because His word is available to all. He's promised to make it available to all. What are we doing with it? Church services are available to all. It's a way that we can worship the Lord. It's a way that we can acknowledge God and the first day of the week that He's established for us to assemble ourselves together to worship Him. Everybody has the same opportunities. Church services, because Jesus Christ established His church and established the first day of the week, He established everything that would be done in the church services, and He says, I want this made available to all throughout the whole church age because they'll give an account for what they do with it. Amen. God says, I'm not going to force them, but I'm going to make an opportunity. I'm going to open the door so that they will have this opportunity. And whether you realize it or not, you have opportunity. When you have opportunity to assemble yourselves together, you will give an account for when you choose not to. And if we really want to walk with God, we would choose to understand His word. We would choose to read the Bible. If we really want to walk with God, we would choose to worship Him. As I have opportunity that He has provided for me to worship Him. Amen. Now, actually, everyone here could pat themselves on the back and say, I'm glad I'm in church today. Yeah. Because you had opportunity, you took advantage of it. But can I tell you, there's probably several billion people that will not take advantage of their opportunity to worship God in a church that God has established in their area. all around the world. Whether it be a missions work, whether it be a country work, inner city work. God says, I'll make it available to them. God will make it available to all people. And we'll give an account for what we've done with the opportunities to acknowledge God, first of all, but then to worship Him. And then after that, to obey His word, to give and to serve as God would have us to give and to serve. We choose to do that. All of these position us for His favor. Doing all that we have opportunity to do, acknowledging Him, worshiping Him, obeying Him. And as we do all of these things that all of us have the very same opportunities to do, you will position yourself for His favor. And knowing that you're in the favor of God will bring a joy. That's what Paul's sharing. That's what Paul's sharing. So that I might finish my course with joy. For whatever I have left, I want to finish it in the center of God's will, because I found that's where the joy is at.
Amen.
Yeah. We choose. See, when we get saved, God sends the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to dwell within us. If you're saved here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of you. As you yield to Him, He will help lead, guide, and direct you into the very will of God. But you have to yield to Him. It's like God, when you got saved, He put inside of you a phone with a direct line to Him, and He says, call me. What are you doing with it? God says, I'm putting it on you. I've done my part. I've done everything I can to provide you an opportunity. If you really want to choose me, to walk with me and to fellowship with me and to accomplish what I have for you to accomplish. And so it's on you, though. I have done everything that needs to be done for you to choose. Call me. We got the phone. We have the access. How often do we call Him? Amen. That's what Paul is saying here. I want you to understand this. I'm leaving you. I want to bring up my testimony that I've been with for 3 years. All these things, you've seen me. You've seen me have a desire to walk with God. You've seen me with a desire to fellowship with God. I have presented to you all that you need to understand concerning a walk. Will you choose it? Yeah. Paul would then choose to be mindful of others. See, if we put God first in our lives, we will be mindful of others. We will not be self-centered. We will not focus everything on whether I am being blessed or whether I have everything I want. Because Jesus left heaven to come to this earth to live a life thinking of others. That's our example. Paul presented that very same example because that's where the joy comes from as well. The joy, first of all, in putting God first, but the joy of putting others second. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Paul says here, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Wow. I think Paul is presenting a pretty good testimony here. Because that's exactly what Christ did. Kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. How we treat others is in our control. How others treat us is not in our control. If we can focus on my part in every relationship of my life, that is what I have control over. I can find joy in every relationship because I have control over how I treat you. And that's what I'll give an account for. No one here, no one will ever give an account of something that you have no control over. Now, you can make it easier for people to treat you, right? But actually, you cannot control how anybody else treats you. If you're focused on how everybody else is treating you, you're going to be a miserable individual. You will not have the joy of the Lord. You will be discouraged, and you will be going in a wrong direction. But if you focus on what God designed you to have control over, then as you focus on what you have control over, you can find joy in how you accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. It's first of all, how you're looking to Him. Second of all, is how you're looking to everybody else in your relationships of life. How you're treating others. Maybe that's why you don't have joy. Yeah. It's in our control. So joy is in my control as I give and not receive. With that in mind, look at verse 35, a very well-known passage of Scripture. But sometimes we get confused here. Knowing why Paul is presenting this now, he says in chapter 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The blessings come from me giving myself. Too often we look at just finances, we look at money, but can I tell you, even what's more important than that is giving yourself to treat others as God wants you to treat others. You have control over that. And if we abide by that, if we do that, it doesn't matter how they treat us. If I'm focused more on what I can control, how am I treating you? Because if I know that I'm treating you the way God wants me to treat you, I have His joy. And it's more blessed to give than look for other people to treat you a certain way. You have no control over how they treat you. So focus more on what you have control over. How you treat them. Amen. That's good stuff. That's why Paul says, I'm leaving you here with this testimony. I want to make sure that you get it down. You know exactly what I've been able to present to you, because what I'm presenting to you is what Jesus Christ has presented to me. And I'm going to be gone. You're not going to see me anymore. But my testimony and the truths that I presented to you, that will be in you for the rest of your life. So I'm going to commit to, for the rest of my life, I'm going to serve God so that I can have His joy. Would you also commit to that? See how it works. Stop focusing on how everybody else is treating you. And start focusing on your part. What you will ultimately give an account for. How am I treating my wife? How am I treating my husband? Well, you don't know the scoundrel that I'm married to. I can't treat him right. Look at what he's doing to me. Oh, yes, you can treat him right. He has no control over how you treat him. You control how you treat him. He controls how he treats you. Focus on your part. Focus on your part. You might have heard about the lady that went sought counsel from a wise pastor. And she said, my husband is the honoriest person. He has never showed me any respect. He's never done anything for me. And I'm going to divorce him. But I want to know How can I make him suffer through divorce? The wise preacher said, well, try this. Why don't you start going back and treating him as kindly as you can, doing everything you can think of for him, everything even beyond what he would expect of you, do everything for you, and then when you divorce him, he's going to really miss it all. And she said, that's a good plan. I'm going to do that. So she goes home and she starts doing everything for him. I mean, she is going overboard doing everything for him. About a month later, the preacher sees her in the grocery store. He says, well, have you ready to divorce him yet? She said, oh, preacher, why would I ever divorce him? He's a different man. I would never divorce him now. I want to live with him the rest of my life. Preacher just smiled and walked on. Can I tell you? That's what it takes. Don't worry about how he's treating you as much as how you are responding to him, or how you're responding to her, how you're responding to that church member, how you're responding to that sister, that brother, that coworker. Stop being controlled by how they are treating you and turn it around and start treating them as God would have you to treat them, and you'll find the joy of the Lord. Because that's what you have control over. God designed it for you to have control over your walk with God and your part in your walk with men. Don't treat people as they want to be treated. Treat people as God reveals they need to be treated. Amen? Paul shared so much about what he did for the people because he knew that in doing this, it would help them to be able to finish the rest of their life with the joy of the Lord. If I could have every head bowed. There's joy in serving God and ministering to others because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Focus on what you're able to give and let God bring into your life His joy. His joy. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth that we find here in Paul's last message to the pastors of Ephesus to help encourage them. And God, it's here for us to be encouraged by as well. Lord, I pray as I have preached this morning that each and every one here would receive what you had for them, focusing on their part in their relationship with you and their relationship with others. I pray that you would give us great victories. In Jesus' name.